Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy, or are you gonna bite?
Yeah, yeah.
There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
Just us, the cameras, and those wonderful people out there in the dark.
Science fiction. The wave of the future.
I wonder where a guy, an everyday Joe like myself, could find a little action.
Bye.
Yeah.
Welcome to Comic-Con, a geek podcast for the rest of us. A geek podcast for the rest.
You want to get this on record that you're wondering why we're going to talk about this movie tonight?
No, I'm wondering what's going on with the budget. Like, oh. with this Comic-Con's cast budget, you know, how do you get a background and yet here I am?
Right. Here you are.
Stuck on, you know, Earth One, you know,
with no background.
With no background. You see my freaking closet.
I see your closet, but it's a wonderful closet at that. It's a wonderful closet.
It's not even
closet.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe closet. I can't
no.
go to this closet.
You can't. Well, maybe you could. Have you tried?
Huh?
Have you tried? Have you tried going somewhere in that closet?
I have tried. I have tried.
Are you deeply closeted?
Well, I came out a few years ago anyway.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Haven't we all? Haven't we all before at one point or another come out in our own way?
I'm serious. What's going on with my budget?
Oh, okay.
How come I can't get a background?
You know? I can show you. I can show you how to add one.
You can show me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You go down to your video.
I'm in the video.
You click
right.
on that little arrow.
Right.
This is why the people tune in. They want this enthralling step-by-step procedure on how to add a background.
Choose a virtual background.
Correct. And they're going to give you some templates, right?
All right.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't like that, you just save one to your desktop and add that one.
Okay.
And there you go, Z's.
Okay, we'll give that a shot next. Would you next time?
Okay, yeah. I mean, by all means, you know.
Next time, you know.
I never really do the background thing, but I thought for tonight this movie's very special, and I thought
you wanted to show off your salary to me.
Hey, if I remember correctly, it was a close friend of mine, a man you might know very very well because I think it's you, and I think you know yourself pretty well. I believe it was you who suggested, sir, that we upgrade the budget for the Zoom. You're like, listen, man, we got to stop these 40-minute sessions. We got to be able to extend our sessions if we want to.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You know, all right. So, and this is the exact reason why the SAG is on strike right now. Because the production company has the budget.
Here we go.
To push for their backgrounds. But look at me. Look at the actor.
If you are the actual worker who's toiling away editing and putting all the sound bites in and producing,
who is bringing life to your production though?
You're right. You're right about that. You are the show. You are the light.
Where is Fran Drescher? She needs to speak for me. Right.
People don't tune in to hear me talk about RoboCop and Sarah Connor Chronicles. They want to know about the Monomoto, the Monomahashi. But I thought you knew how to do the background guy. I just assumed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. You're a Zoom user.
Always assume, you know. They always assume that.
Do we need to stop production? Do we need to start over and so you can
it's
add
okay
a background?
On the other side. It's
add
okay
one
on
right
the
now.
Side.
It'll take 5 seconds. I'll wait.
Okay on the other side of the tracks.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
No, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in solidarity with the rest of my SAG.
Are
brethren.
We really going to talk about this right now? Are you serious?
The writers are on strike. The actors are on strike. And so is my black ass.
You're trying to see some of that Patreon money, too, aren't you? Hey, where are you going? Hey! Hey, come on!
The Saturday night.
You're messing with a professional here. Nice fucking model.
Saturday night.
It's a Saturday night, and And we do have somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got some money because we just got paid. How I wish I got someone to talk to. Wait, I'm in an awful way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey! You know, I love you, brother. That's I love you. I love you. You know? And what's great about this right now is that we're in familiar territory, you know? We're in familiar territory here because we talk about Batman a lot, but now we're actually going to do a show where we talk about Batman the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've never done that before.
Right. We never even talked about Oppenheimer right now. Another Nolan gem that's coming out right now. But we're going back to all the way to fucking 2008.
Well, we have to. It's coming up on an anniversary. I think by the time this episode drops, Dark Knight will be celebrating 15 years.
Ridiculous.
That's a big deal.
Ridiculous.
It's a big deal. Don't you go through old movies when a new movie's coming out? I rewatched Dark Knight. I think I'm going to do Inception next. Then I'm going to do Interstellar. And then I'm going to go see Oppenheimer.
You're not going to do Tenet?
I'm not going to do Tenet. Are you going to do Tenet ever again? Hell no.
I think I have to.
You know, it's fucked up because they reference Oppenheimer, I think, in that movie. And maybe I'm just really dumb. I don't know. I don't think I'm dumb, but maybe I am dumb because when I watched it, I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all.
Like I went through it three times. And it's
three times?
Three times? Yeah. Three times I went through Tenet. And I can't catch it.
Are you really upset that we're talking about Dark Knight tonight?
I am. Oppenheimer is releasing Paris as we speak.
Do you want to talk about Oppenheimer? Let's talk about Oppenheimer. Go ahead.
I haven't seen it yet, so we could talk about it.
Exactly. I haven't seen it yet either. So what the fuck? I know why you're upset. Kids, anyone that listened to the show, longtime listeners, will know that he's really upset because we're talking about the Dark Knight, not the Dark Knight you know what. Now, he could talk about the Dark
Knight.
Exactly.
Yes, it would be something else if we were talking about Rises right now.
I know you, man. I know you. And then I had this background of Heath Ledger.
No. I went back on a Dark Knight binge last week. I mean, in mm-hmm. binge, I go through clips.
Yeah.
So, you know, basic clips. Just to jump into it, my favorite clip is opening scene in the parking garage.
Mm.
Just because once we do get that first bat appearance, it's the way he turned around after, you know, Crane knocked him off the van.
Right.
It's when he rose up and he couldn't turn it. He can't turn his neck.
He can't turn his neck yet. And it's heavy. The suit's heavy.
Right.
You can see it weighing on his shoulders. Right. He's walking with weights. Right, right.
And as he's turning, that Dark Knight score just comes in.
Boom,
and I was like, oh shit, that's fucking Batman right there.
So that Heat, that little homage to Heat opening bank scene didn't do anything for you. I remember seeing the theater and being like, oh shit, and the whole introduction of the Joker, I mean, that was very memorable.
I don't take away from it, but more memorable to me is first bat appearance.
When he lands on that van.
When he falls off the van and he has to get back up and he turns
and then he gets up there and then he jumps on the van
and he just jumps on the van.
But it's just that turn that does it for you.
Yeah, because the score comes in.
It's a hell of a
right. That's how Batman moves. Right.
It's a hell of a turn. It's a hell of a move. You're right.
Hell of a move. Because it's like he's hunched over because it's heavy.
I remember people complaining about that. Like when the trailers came out, people were nitpicking it. Because this is around the time that people really started nitpicking trailers. And they nitpicked that when they dropped this because it was like, why is he hunched over? Why is he? Oh, it's a fucking heavy ass suit. And they even talk about it in the movie. And I forgot they even talk about it in the movie until I rewatched it recently. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it would make backing out of the driveway a little easier if he could look both ways.
Right.
You know, it's something that Michael Keaton never got a chance to appreciate in that 89 because he could never turn his head himself.
No, he couldn't turn either.
It's always on a swivel.
Nobody could turn, could they? Before Bale. Nobody could turn. I don't even think Clooney could turn.
No, I don't think anybody turned.
Yeah, nobody can turn. He had to always turn his whole body.
Yeah, the whole way.
I think, yeah, Bale is the first person to actually turn that neck.
Yeah, Bale was the first person to move the neck. Yep. Hell of a thing, you know?
You know, like, that's how you know you're a Bat fan. You have to pay attention to how that man turns his neck.
Do you have to pay attention to the Alfreds, too? Like, don't get me wrong. We quote that 89 like nobody's fucking business. But is Michael Caine the quintessential Alfred because we got him for three fucking movies? I mean, I know we got Michael Goh in more than three movies, but be honest, like straight back to back, you know, 2 years apart at best, Michael Caine carrying the thread, carrying the load, some of the best, you know, on-screen scenes between a Bruce Wayne and an Alfred that we've seen ever. Is he your Alfred?
That Michael Goh is my Alfred. Always.
Yeah. You love that Michael Goh with the fishy
swirl. Between him and the animated series Alfred.
Mm. I diapered your bottom. I ought to bloody well ought to, sir. Right. I got you. Right. I have no wish to spend my last few remaining years grieving for the loss of old friends.
All their sons.
Come on now. Nobody knows. You think you and I could walk around the moon base that we just happen to be working together again at and just mm-hmm. fucking say that? You think people would pick up on that?
Nobody would pick up on it.
Nobody would pick up on that.
Nobody picks up on it.
Nobody.
But Irons, he did nothing for you, huh?
I don't say he did nothing. I even appreciated his little appearance in the Flash movie most recently. Mm-hmm. I like him in that role. I like that version of Alfred that's like working on the tech stuff, you know. Apparently Lucius Fox is nowhere to be found. I like that version, but I really watching this again with Michael Caine, I love it.
But you got, I don't think Lucius Fox ever made it out of the Nolanverse though.
You're safe. I got a background up so you can just walk out here naked.
Of course, there's a Joker right there.
Wife's getting out of the shower.
Oh.
Hey folks. Hey now. Hey now, don't dream it's over.
Didn't get the studio tonight, huh?
I just didn't feel like going downstairs.
Oh.
Sometimes it's like that. You know, you finish the day, you got all this equipment, you know, mm-hmm. and you don't want to haul it downstairs, you know, mm-hmm. and you want to start on time, you know, because mm-hmm. I know we got places to be, you know, mm-hmm. we're proud papas. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, Yeah, as a proud papa, is Alfred really like a dad to Bruce? He is, right?
He's always been his dad. That's his real father. Yeah, he raised him.
That's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. That's why you want it in a movie. That's why I think I don't like that Pattinson.
That's the way he talked to Alfred, huh?
I don't like the way he treated him, man.
You don't like the way he talked to Gollum?
No, I don't like that at all. The man's laying in a hospital. Alfred just got blown to bits in a fucking apartment. Now, he didn't really get blown to bits, but the apartment did, or the penthouse, wherever the fuck they were. And he's laying in bed, and he wakes up, and he smiles at him, and he looks at him, and he goes, "Hey," it actually doesn't say anything. I think he just smiles at him. And that emo little bitch is like, "You lied to me, Alfred. You lied to me."
You just don't like the emo part.
Fuck out of here with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
I don't know.
That's your dad right there. And don't get me wrong. We've all been a little emo towards our dad sometimes.
I was, like I said, I had my doubts before that Pattinson, but I stand corrected. He knocked it out the park for me with that. With that Batman.
You like the Batman scenes, though.
I like that. You know who I am.
I hate that shit.
Oh!
I hate that shit. Look, we talked about it again.
You don't want that? You don't want...
He should have come through a goddamn skylight. Batman. He should have come through a goddamn skylight. Not a fucking knock on the door. You know who I am. I do. Look, I'll give him credit. His voice was pretty good. He did a pretty good voice. Okay. So what if I had
like
to squint?
He didn't have to bail this shit. Like, bail had to. And he wasn't deep enough to Keaton it. He made it his own.
I remember when I first watched Batman Begins with my older sister, God rest her soul, and we're sitting next to each other in the movie theater, and the second he starts talking to Katie Holmes at that train station, and he's like, "Someone like you, someone to rattle the cages." My sister, I felt her cringe, and she looked at me, and she was like, "What is he doing?" Because he didn't do that in all the scenes. It was like certain scenes he'd go full ham, and you were like, hey, ease up. you know? And then that Keaton just talks, and you're like, oh, that's how it's supposed to be.
Keaton talked and Kilmer just talked.
They just talked, man. Yeah.
Right.
That's not rodents, Dr. Meridian. Come on. It's good, man. Yeah. It's good. And I think Pattinson does get that. I think he gets that you don't go full ham with it. You don't even have to put a gruff on it. You just kind of underspeak, so to speak.
Yeah, but Bale changed it in Dark Knight, or they changed it for him.
I think he stuck with that shit. I think he did it. I think Nolan liked how he did that. Nolan liked his choice and let him just do whatever.
Yeah. Because you know? It's just like you did it for Begins. He sounded like, you know, very cringy. And then that's when he just, in Dark Knight, he just got that.
Yeah, he went full. Because, you know, in Begins, he does the, where is it? Yeah. Where are the drugs going? It's like, the cops don't go to the Narrows. Do I look like a cop? Right. You know? And then that was the only time we really got that. Then by the second one, he did a lot more yelling. You know,
so what was it? What was his first line? In what was it saying? It was in the parking garage. You know, I'm not wearing hockey pants.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah,
but we ignored it, didn't we?
Yeah,
we ignored it because of everything going on.
That motherfucking Tumblr. Right. I definitely ignored it.
You also don't like this movie because the fans that know. The fans of the, not even the fans of this podcast, but the fans of the Dark Knight trilogy should know by listening to this podcast, you're a fan of that Tumblr. So I know you don't like this movie because the Tumblr gets destroyed.
Yeah. Horrible.
That really bothered you that he ate a bazooka in that goddamn Tumblr.
I hate that he, oh my God.
I just finished rewatching
it. I hate when Batman destroys his stuff for no reason. Just like in Returns. He did not have to wreck the bat ski boat. He didn't.
No, he really didn't. Like he saw Penguin.
He could have parked it.
He could have parked and used his grappling gun and gone up top.
He just got up top. But no, he shot that motherfucker all the way through the tunnel and it broke that nice ass bat ski boat.
But also, are we also led to imagine that maybe, you know, at the end of the day, Batman's a human being. And while he might be the greatest detective, he's not like fucking, I don't know. He's not from a Fast and Furious movie. So in other words, if he gets behind the wheel of one of those things, it's very plausible he's going to fucking wreck that shit. You know what I'm saying?
And just the fact that Bruce Wayne's a motherfucking billionaire.
Right, correct.
Yeah, so it's nothing to him.
It's nothing to him.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's a drop in the bucket.
Right.
Right.
Right. He's going right back to Wayne Enterprises next day. Build me another one more.
How great, though, is the relationship in him and Lucius in this, though? I mean, I love that. I love their chemistry. I love that we finally got that in this trilogy because we saw it in the animated series a little bit. And we saw it in the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love seeing that really more drawn out, like especially when he's talking about going to Hong Kong to get Lau. You know, by the way, kids, spoilers. We're going to be talking about a movie that came out in 2008. Mm-hmm. And
that came out in 2008.
Right. And he goes to Hong Kong to get Lau, but before he does it, he's talking about like how he's going to do it, how he's going to extract him, and he's talking about jumping out of a plane. And Lucius is like, no, jumping out of a plane, that's pretty straightforward for someone like you. And he goes, what about getting back into the plane while it's in the air? Now that's more like it, Mr. Wayne. Come on now. Come on now. That's great. Lucius didn't ask too many questions, but he liked being a part of the show, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You're goddamn right he did.
Mm-hmm.
He flew to Hong Kong to tell Lau that he was wasting his time accidentally. You know? And then get back in a plane and go back to Wayne Towers or Wayne Industries, wherever the fuck. And that scene, that's probably, so you're talking about favorite scenes? That's probably one of my favorite scenes. When he's up on that goddamn tower and he shoots those little...
The little clay thing. So
yeah.
That's not a bad scene. That is one of my favorite scenes too.
Because we got to see Batman leave Gotham City, I think for the first time in any live action movie,
right.
Go to a different country, part of the world, to extract somebody and bring them back to Gotham. So I think this movie is a first for a lot of reasons. It gives us a lot of things that other live action movies or other versions hadn't given us yet. And I think that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we got our first bat cycle in this movie because we didn't have it in another movie before this.
This is the bat cycle's first appearance.
You know,
I didn't think we needed it again in Rises, but the fucking Tumblr is blown to shit.
Yeah, the Tumblr was so good, and it's a shame because by Rises we got the cycle, which is cool. Don't get me wrong,
but
he
had plenty of other Tumblrs.
I know.
In the warehouse,
because
he had it. It was there with his precious armory.
Why couldn't we get another Batwing too? Like, were they so scared of mimicking the Keaton Batwing they had to make this weird?
I still didn't like the bat.
It was just like a. I don't even know.
I don't know if it was a hovercraft or it was a half helicopter, half hovercraft.
Right. It was gratefully accepted, though.
Gratefully accepted.
We will need it. But we ain't talking about Rises.
We made it to Hong Kong.
No. Right.
We haven't even started with Joker yet. Let's start with, you know.
Let's talk. I got Heath up on my background right now.
There you go. Yep.
A lot of people talk shit.
The budget was covered for your background.
Oh my God. A lot of people talk shit when he was cast. And they were
all
wrong.
What was the shit that was talked?
I think nobody could see it. They were like, what? The Joker? I mean, the last time we had a Joker was Jack Nicholson in 89. So people were like, what the fuck? You can't Heath Ledger. And I think
he can't do it. I remember.
He can't do it. They were like, 10 things I hate about you, A Knight's Tale. What the fuck? And he blew it out of the park. He destroyed it. He crushed it. I mean, I think a lot of people try to copy his portrayal of it even now. And I also think this version works so well because we hadn't had a Joker since 89.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I worry about other Jokers popping up in other mediums and other Batman movies because it hasn't been that long. And I feel like we had a Joker in Suicide Squad. Then we had the Joker movie with Joaquin. And then we get this fucking little deleted scene that Reeves throws out on the internet. Everybody fucking comes all over. And I'm like, it's too much, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. No, it's too thin. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think we talked about this before where, like, how dark did he
possibly
had to go for this Joker?
Mm.
We did talk about this because you don't believe it was just him taking on this role that made him leave.
No, I don't. I mean,
there's more to it.
I've seen other interviews with other actors, like even Michael J. White was like, you know, all the stigma around him being like tortured over this role is bullshit. Like he was a fun loving guy. He was skateboarding on set. He was talking to everybody. I think he overdid on some pills, man. I think he mixed some pills with some other shit and he fucking OD'd. And it sucks. It's horrible. But, you know, I don't think there was this, like, I think it's easy to romanticize and be like, well, it was the role that,
yeah,
you know. And I don't know. I mean, it's great that he won an Oscar for it posthumously or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think he crushed it, man. Like, you watch it and you forget it's Heath Ledger. Like, you're just watching.
Yeah, I definitely forget. Yeah.
And just even the scene when he kidnaps one of those fucking Batman imposters, the copycats.
Right. So let me ask this. Is that the same policeman from Reservoir Dogs?
Because
he looks like him.
He does kind of look like him.
He looks like him. You know? Why dress up like him? You know?
Yeah. That's a good point. It might be.
Because it's the same. Kind of like format, you know, he's stuck in a chair, tied up.
I think it's
like
a different
Reservoir Dogs.
I think it's a different actor.
You think it's a different actor?
I think it's a different actor, but it's a badass scene regardless, yeah. Especially when he's like, look at me, you know, yeah. and you hear the different levels and you're like, oh, fuck.
Because it had to get dark. And that's,
it had
that's
to get
the,
dark.
I guess that's the dark part that, he said it had to go places that, you know, he didn't think a Joker could go. So.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
Change in that Joker is because it's a change from Caesar. It's a change from Nicholson. It's a change from Hamill, you know?
It's like Caesar had the laughs and was just joking and laughing around and having a good old time. Then Nicholson did that, but Nicholson had those, where did they get a load of me moments where he was like, kind of creepy, you know?
Yeah.
And it was those darker moments. I mean, people forget how dark the Burton movie was for the time it came out. Like, it was pretty fucking dark when all everybody knew was fucking Adam West. It's like a complete 180.
Right.
But see, so Heath Ledger had to do something different. And I think even the fact, like, I read that he was really just doing like a Tom Waits impression with the voice. And just because he loves Tom Waits, so he like heard Tom Waits talk in interviews, and he was just like, it's all part of the plan, like that kind of thing. Like other people, like I'll say it, like fucking our boy Jared Leto, have tried to like mimic that kind of, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, no,
yeah, you can't do it. That's why I appreciate Joaquin, because he didn't try.
No, he really did his own thing.
Yeah, he just did his own thing.
He just lost a lot of weight. Like, he started looking like me before I went inside the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did his own thing, baby.
Yeah.
Again, I've only seen that movie once.
I took the ride three times. Again.
Three times. God
something
damn.
About that, you know.
Three times?
Yeah, three times. Yeah.
I don't know. I know that the Nolan trilogy, I know the Nolan movies are serious and earnest, and they're kind of dark, and they're not really, there's not a lot of camp, there's not a lot of flair like the Elfman ones or even the Schumacher ones.
Definitely not a Schumacher.
No, definitely not Schumacher. And there is some humor, but again, it's very grounded. But for some reason, any step beyond the edginess of a Nolan movie, I think, is almost too much.
Because where did we get some humor in Dark Knight then? Where did we get humor then?
Oh, you get it. You get it in the banter between Lucius Fox and the kid that's trying to out, you know, Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
You know, you get that little moment where he's like, so hold on, you think Bruce Wayne is Batman and your plan is to blackmail the very man who beats criminals?
Okay. All right.
And that's a funny little moment. You get a lot of banter between Alfred and Bruce, which is nice.
Ah, when they were putting up the suit.
Yeah, when they were thinking like, about fucking packing all in, you know.
Yeah, he was like, you know, I'll tell them you're Batman.
Yeah, it was all your idea.
This was all your idea. Right?
You know what I'm saying? So there is some of that. And I would think even the Joker scene when he says, let her go, and he's like, very poor choice of words. And he lets go of her. Shit like that is, you know, it's snappy, you know?
And I don't know. Is there humor in the gangster meeting, you know? The crime
I would say
of
so.
Gotham?
I would definitely say so.
Yeah.
I would even say so in our favorite club scene when our boy fucking Eric Roberts himself is at the club.
You just see folks falling off the balcony and shit.
Dude, come on now.
Like, and then that's when I've said it before. That's how you know Bruce Wayne is psycho. Bruce Wayne is crazy.
Insane.
Like, he literally just went into this club and he's kicking ass. Left and right, literally.
Right.
In a bat suit.
And that's what set the bar, man. That's what sets the bar. That's what I'm saying. Like, this whole, like, knock on the front door and I'm just going to sit here and talk to people. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, but Pattinson still went through that club like it was 1999.
He did go through that club the first time. The first
that
time.
Bat, when he grabbed that bat from the dude.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
Come on, man.
Give me that skylight.
Get with the program.
Give me that skylight. There's no program.
Get with the program.
There is no program.
The Batman is a damn good movie.
It's a good movie. I just don't like it.
Mm.
You know? You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. I know it's a good movie. I know this. You don't have to keep fucking in my ass and tell me this. It is. I can't rewatch it.
How can you not rewatch it?
I tried once. I didn't finish.
Like once that I'm vengeance happens, I'm locked in.
I like the narration.
I can't leave now.
No, I hear you. Like, I like it. I like a lot of things about it. I do.
I hear you.
I hear you.
How can you leave? How can you leave once she says, I'm vengeance?
There's a lot of slow parts where even when they're uncovering everything, I don't give a fuck about the Riddler. I don't give a fuck about his motivation.
Okay. Right,
I don't
right,
give
right,
a
right,
fuck
right.
about any of that. So I fast forward a lot. And then I like that end scene, even though a lot of people didn't like it. I really liked the end scene where he wades the people out of the water and helps them and helps get that woman on the helicopter. Because I liked how because we hadn't seen that before. We hadn't seen Batman help a herd of people.
In the community.
In the community like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You want to see him be proactive in his community.
Because we see that in comics. We've seen it in comics where he's helped people, where he saved a kid or he's done this. And I don't know. It touched on that a little bit more. It made him like more human. You know, like in these Nolan movies, even in the Nolan movies, you see him save Rachel and then not save Rachel and then save Harvey. but you don't really see him save, like, you see him foil a plan, but you don't see him physically save, like, strangers. You know what I'm saying?
But I think the thing you're looking at is that you like to see Batman work during the day.
I like a little bit of that. So let me guess. A little bit of that.
You definitely like that Flash opening scene then.
I love that shit.
Love that.
Love that shit.
Like him working in the daytime.
I like a little bit of that. Yeah.
I don't like seeing him working in daytime.
But don't want it all the time. Don't want it all the time.
I want him at night. I want him coming out the shadows.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. But you cherish those times when he comes into the light.
Because it's rare. And I like the fact that this man's been up all night fucking beating up motherfuckers, solving a crime, maybe doing some analysis in the back cave on the back computer. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, there's a fucking signal with a bank robbery going off in Central City or even in Gotham City. And he's got to fucking leave jurisdiction or stay in jurisdiction and fucking take care of business. You know?
See, I don't agree with that.
Who else is going to do it? The cops?
The Flash. The Flash.
I liked how he came on the mic, though, and they were like, and he said something about Maroni. He's like, because of course it had to be, no, not Maroni, hit Falcone. Of course he says like something like, some idiot kid thinks he's going to take over Gotham by da 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 da, and he has a dirty bomb. And I love that. Like, I liked that narration. Like, I think that's what he, when Affleck did those interviews and he was like, I finally figured out how to play the character. I think they just used him in a better way with an ensemble movie.
Mm-hmm.
Than having him, I don't know what was up with that suit though. A lot of people were mad about that suit.
That
I'm
blue.
I'm not sure. Well, why they gave him like the road suit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't fucking lose my mind over it either. Like, I was like, it's fine. Like, there were people that lost their mind over it, yeah. You know? I like a good suit change.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, how do you feel about that Bale suit? There's not a lot of flash to it.
I like that Bale suit.
You don't mind that the bat symbol's not standing out in any way?
No, it doesn't need to be in high yellow and all of that, you know.
Don't you love that yellow?
Like, again, my favorite suit is Forever. I think Kilmer had the best suit ever.
Because it was a little bit of that Keaton, but it had some of those, but it had the nips too. It didn't, like that.
If you notice, Keaton's 89 draped his shoulders.
It did, and it had better cape action.
It had better cape action. No. Well, Hold it now. I think Kilmer had better cape action.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said Keaton had better cape action.
No, are you talking about Keaton or are you talking about Kilmer?
I'm how saying it draped, Kilmer how it draped had the shoulder. Better cape action.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying in 89, Keaton's cape draped his shoulders.
Whereas, it draped the shoulders, whereas Kilmer's was under, yeah, gotcha.
Kilmer's was just around his neck.
Which is kind of how we like it.
Right. Right.
You want it kind of around the neck more.
One round
shoulders need to be popping.
Because that's how Kal-El wears his cape. We want
you're
to
goddamn,
be like
you're
that.
Goddamn right. We want
we
to
want
be,
to
like,
be
that.
Like that Kryptonian.
We look up to that, right?
Right.
The same way I look up to you.
There you go.
When I'm walking next to you,
right?
And I'm just so proud to be walking next to you. And I'm so happy to be with you in the sun,
right?
You know.
Where are we going, George?
I just love walking with you. That's me. Apparently, that's me, folks.
in the field of lilies, we walk together.
He's referring to a mice and men.
Yeah. Gary Sinise, Vince D'Onofrio.
Wasn't it John Malkovich? It was John Malkovich.
It was John Malkovich. It was John Malkovich.
It was, yeah.
Right.
Didn't he kill the puppy?
He killed the puppy. He wasn't a rabbit.
He was petting it too hard or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same way he did with that little girl.
Oh, shit. Did he kill the little girl?
He killed the she wasn't a little girl. She was just the young woman.
Oh, right. She's like Jubilee's age.
No, she was older, I think.
Oh, was she? Okay.
I can't remember her name, but I just remember like George. No, that wasn't his name. What was Malkovich's name?
Couldn't tell you. It's been a while. It's been a while since junior year of high school.
You watched it in school too?
Yeah, we did.
That was sad.
I
that was a very depressing movie.
It really was, and we watched it in like sophomore year or junior year of high school. There was a lot of weird shit that we watched.
It was.
I told somebody at a Moonbase one time because they were talking about The Color Purple, and they were like, "Where'd you first see that?" And I was like, "I think I saw that in high school." And they were like, "What would be the significance for you watching that in high school?" And I was like, "I think they were trying to teach us like you know, race relations. So they watched us.
Or early on depression.
Early on depression, yeah. Lenny was it. There you
Lenny
go.
Was
Lenny
was Malkovich's name.
I should have got that.
Yeah, Lenny. Yeah, so the girl was not responding to Lenny's advances.
Advances, right.
And Lenny grabbed her by the neck.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to hug you and squeeze you and love you and love you. You know?
I don't think he said that. But, you know, I think what ended up happening there is ultimately she didn't make it.
Right.
Much like Maggie Gyllenhaal didn't make it to another Dark Knight movie. Right. How sad were you?
I did not like that change because, in my opinion, she was not Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes was kind of hot in Batman Begins. She worked for me.
It's interesting, though. You know, Katie Holmes was Katie Holmes, but Maggie Gyllenhaal was Rachel Dawes. You see what I'm saying? Like, when I watch Katie Holmes in Batman Begins,
I'm not following.
I can't get past Katie Holmes' brown, doughy eyes and those goddamn tits poking out of the blouse.
Right.
Whereas
that wind was blowing.
It was blowing. You know, what will you do, Bruce, after you fix it up? Because I'm Katie Holmes and I have one range, you know?
And great nips.
And great nips. But then Rachel Dawes being turned over to Maggie G. I thought she kind of embodied the character a little bit more, you know, as a little sassy.
You think so? Turning.
I think so. You know? A little bit more acting chops, perhaps.
Katie Holmes was a good Rachel Dawes.
Hey, I'm not saying she was a horrible Rachel Dawes. I'm just saying when you compare the two.
Horrible. I'm just saying, I think we could have carried her over.
I don't think she wanted to carry over.
No, she didn't. She did not want to carry over.
I think she pulled a Terrence Howard.
Yeah, she did not want to carry over.
I don't know why, though.
Yeah.
Got to make that money.
I mean, when you don't see the vision,
that's true. See, I don't know what it's like because I'm a producer and you're an actor. So I don't. You have to relay to me what.
When you don't see the vision, you got to pull out. You got to pull out.
But I don't like pulling out.
Right. Hence that Zephyr of yours. There you go.
And that's the show, kids. Thanks for coming.
That's when you're going to end it. That's when.
There's so much more to say. 15 years later, doesn't this movie.
It still holds.
It still fucking holds, right?
It still holds.
It's a goddamn classic.
That's why it's on like three different streaming services right now.
It's revered to be. I think it's revered to be one of the best, even though obviously he's not a superhero. It's revered to be one of the best superhero movies of all time.
I mean, it's number two to Infinity.
Superman 4. Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
There you go.
Die, Superman.
There you go.
It's number two to Infinity.
Like I said, when it comes down to it, you know, Endgame, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Endgame just has all the cards, right?
Right.
It did everything right as far as a superhero movie.
I think Infinity War is probably revered more than Endgame just because it had everybody in it and then it had that ending and just packed that punch. I remember everybody was just like, what the fuck? And then Endgame followed it all up and everybody cried their eyes out at the end.
So you gotta count it as, count two as one then, I guess.
I try to count them both as one movie.
So we count, okay. But people don't do that.
I think you're right. I think Infinity War and Endgame set the bar for like what a superhero movie should really be like.
Right. Right.
You know, but I'd also throw Spider-Man 2 up there, you know, Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock. I would throw that in my top five.
That's the top five.
As far as a movie about a superhero battling his doubts and his insecurities and then fighting a new villain. And that movie has a lot of like human condition, like nuances.
No. Spider-Man 2 holds.
No. That scene on the train when his mask is off. And the people on the train pick him up and they're like, he's as young as my son.
Mm-hmm.
And they're holding him up, you know, they're helping him. Right. That's a powerful scene.
And then Doc Ock just tears open that tuna can and
and pulls his dick out.
And says, bring your ass home.
Bring your ass.
Yeah. Okay. So Spider-Man 2, Dark Knight, the Infinity Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you just throw in Superman 1.
I mean, I guess you have to, don't you?
Yeah, you have to.
Do you have to throw in Superman 1 or do you do 2 with Zod?
For me, I would throw in two because two is the best one.
Yeah, I would say two would go in there.
Yeah, so Superman Returns over Superman.
I guess Man of Steel doesn't make it to anyone's top five.
It definitely doesn't. It doesn't.
Even though we both talk about it a lot.
It's top 10.
There are some great
scenes. Top 10.
There is some great scenes.
Yeah, Man of Steel is top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's going to crack that top five.
But don't you think Blade deserves a spot in that somewhere?
Top 10.
Top 10 easily. Like right behind top five, right? Like six or seven? Just for what it did.
You'll be surprised what my six would be, though.
What is your six?
My six would be Logan.
You're going to put Logan over any of the X-Men movies? I'm serious. No, I'm serious. Because it is legit. It's fucking legit.
X1 through... The only thing that could come close to Logan is Days. That's all I got.
Days of Future. Yeah, okay.
That's all I got.
But I think you're right. I think Logan... So if the rule is this, right? If the rule is for a superhero movie to be in like the top 10...
I'm talking about just... Cinematic impact,
right? Cinematic
fan
impact,
impact. I'm fan talking impact. About just everything.
But I would also add what I think you're getting at is doing something that other movies haven't done, right? And I think Logan has to be in that top 10 because of that, because this was the first time we got that story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we had comic books and stuff like that, but as far as like a live action, like old man Logan, and then he dies at the end. And if there's a little bit of redemption, you know, and it's like the mm-hmm. story of like loss and redemption and trying to regain connections with people. And you get all that with X-23 and all that. Yeah, I think you're right. I dare
not watch Logan lightly. You know, I have to be prepared to watch Logan.
That's not casual. That's not making a
sandwich.
That's
not casual.
No.
When that little girl says, Papa, I can't do it.
Oh, fuck, dude.
I can't.
Fuck, dude. And then you're in the dark. You're watching that shit in the dark, sound blaring, right?
Right.
Right. See, that's me in this Dark Knight trilogy. I can't walk in and out of this shit.
You can't walk in and out of it.
I got to sit down and watch it.
I could walk out of, I could walk out on Begins.
Oh, I love that. I can't miss any Neeson screen time.
You can't miss that Dukar.
That I work for a man named Ra's al Ghul, but my name is Emile Dukar.
What's his name?
Emile Dukar.
That first name, it escapes me. One more time. Yeah.
Emile Dukar.
Emile?
Emile.
Emile.
If someone's someone should probably look that up for us.
I know that they just told Neeson to just say whatever when he wants to call, whenever you know, he wanted to call the ninjas.
You I'll know tell they... You. Hara do set.
Right.
Haji. Right. I think he said Haji.
You must appear in the shadow. Haji!
You mustn't leave any sign. I haven't. That was good. Before Bale put on the cowl,
mm-hmm.
he's like, I haven't. That was good. That was some good shit. Mm. But of course, you know what my favorite part of that whole scene is? Because now we're talking about Begins.
Yeah, let's go to Begins.
And you aren't afraid, but not of me. Now it's Mr. Wayne. What are some of your favorite lines from The Dark Knight? Like The Dark Knight? Because I already got my favorite. I actually do have one favorite scene.
Favorite line?
Yeah. Because there are some good ones.
Thank you.
No, go ahead. Start over. Because I talked over.
That's not me. We just jumped all the way through Dark Knight, and we didn't even talk about Harvey fucking Dent.
Harvey
Dent.
All right, pause. Before you do the scene, Aaron Eckhart, what did you know him from before you watched this movie? I knew him from Thank You for Not Smoking, or Thank You for Smoking.
No, it was something else.
Okay, so you knew who he was.
Something else.
But you love Harvey Dent. I know you've always loved Harvey Dent. So when you
I always
knew
love
he was
Harvey Dent.
You didn't have any doubts when, as soon as you saw him, you're like, okay.
No, I thought he could do it. My doubts were the makeup. How would they do it in a Nolan verse?
And were you disappointed?
No, I was not disappointed.
He looked great, didn't he?
That's how somebody burnt the fuck up will look in real life. All right. Because of course I want them to look like animated series.
Of course, the blue, the random blue makeup.
You know, with the lip.
I think we could get that one day.
How are you going to get it? How
I'm
are
just
you?
Saying.
Because it has to be chemical related. So far, haven't received a Harvey Dent chemical related.
Was Tommy Lee's makeup that bad? Was it really that bad? I don't think it was that bad.
It was pink.
Yeah, but it was still pretty good though on the surface. With the burn.
His suits were on point because the left side of Two-Face, like he had leopard print, he had silver toe boots. The fashion for Tommy Lee's Two-Face was outstanding.
But you just didn't like the face.
I did not need a pink face. They definitely could have made it blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have been mad if Aaron Eckhart turned around and he had like a blue face and white hair.
I would have been pissed.
It was like the only CGI I think used in that movie. I think everything else was practical. So.
Because it had to be done when he drank something, right? Didn't he drink something?
He drank something and then you saw it like go down the chin a little bit. That was cool because he didn't have lips. It was just like, ugh.
Because even Eckhart's suit, it was still, you know, half and half.
Right. It was like singed perfectly.
Yeah. It was singed. Yeah.
And I guess it was hanging up in the hospital waiting for him to. So when he left, he had his suit. He wasn't in a medical gown. He just had his.
Nope.
But we left your suit that was all burnt up to remind you of your horrible trauma. We left it hung up in the hospital for you.
And he put it on perfectly, too.
Perfectly. Put that tie up and everything.
Yeah. But no, I didn't have any doubts about Eckhart. Okay. Although I can't remember the film that I remember him from before that.
I just loved when they introduced him. I loved the courtroom scene. I loved the coin reference. Right. I loved his conversation with Gordon talking about, you know, faulty floodlights on the top of the tower. And then I heard they got another name for me down at the MCU, which, of course, leads us to that hospital scene, sir. Yeah.
And then, you know, Dent just like, I don't recall.
No. Do the whole thing.
Gordon just, he never wanted to call it that, huh?
Because he probably
called him that, too.
You're goddamn right. Give it to me. Go ahead. I just want it. Give it to me. I just want it one time. Come on.
What was that name they gave me down at the MC?
What? Harvey, I...
What was that name?
Harvey, I don't...
Say it.
I don't, Harvey. I really don't.
Say it!
Harvey Two-Face. Two-Face, Harvey Two-Face.
Why should I hide who I am? Anyway, his jaw, I just...
Doctors say you've, refusing medication, refusing pain.
Skin grafts.
Yeah, refusing skin grafts.
He wanted the pain.
He wanted the pain. He hated the pain. Life is pain, Joe. Little Last Boy Scout reference. Anyway. it's so good. That's pretty solid.
We got a lot in Dark Knight. This is the first introduction of two villains, really.
In the Nolan trilogy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
that's not true.
Because you kind of got it in Rises.
You had it in Begins. You had Scarecrow and Robin.
And I'm sorry. I'll take it back. You got me right. Yeah.
So they gave two. I guess that's the formula, isn't it?
But did you really get the full Ra's al Ghul in Begins, though? As you've seen him in other animated movies and the animated series, did you get full-on Ra's al Ghul?
We didn't get the full Ra's al Ghul cock because we should have got that Lazarus pit. We should have got that green cloak. I want that green cloak from the fucking animated series.
Right. Definitely wanted some Lazarus pit action.
Come on now.
Right.
I think we could get there one day.
You only put the tip in, huh?
We could get there one day.
With the full-on Ra's al Ghul. You want another version of Ra's al Ghul.
I want a Ra's al Ghul in like the third chapter of a movie instead of the first, where we take Batman across the world like Indiana Jones, and then we end up in fucking God knows where with tombs and deserts and Talia and booby traps, and he has to use his gadgets but his wits, and then we end up basically do Demon's Quest, the first and two episodes of the animated series.
I think we should work up to a Ra's al Ghul.
I agree. And have Ra's al Ghul be behind a lot of things.
Behind a lot of stuff. Right.
Correct.
Because he's a major criminal mind.
I think so too. And I would not be mad if we don't get Joker for a few years. I would not be mad if we don't get Riddler for a few years. Like, let's play with some other villains.
You want that Killer Croc. You want that.
I want that killer croc. I want that man back.
That clay face.
Give me the weird shit. Give me that weird shit. You know,
like I said, if whatever Gunn does now, like if you can incorporate a clay face, a croc, and either you're going to get a Professor Pig or you're going to get a Mad Hatter somewhere.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I'm good with getting, I'm even good with like cameos, but here's the thing. Like the reason why that Pattinson Joker, like little teaser didn't fuck me or didn't get me wet inside or make me, I feel like, cause I remember that. Remember the plan
right.
For the Dark Knight. Like we were supposed to see Heath in Rises. That would have been like after seeing them together in that's probably my favorite scene of any Batman movie. One of my favorite scenes of any Batman movie is that interrogation scene where Joker tells him, no, that you've changed things. Nothing's going to go back to the way it was. You've changed things. And when he says that, he's saying what we're all thinking, like by you existing, all these weirdos are going to fucking come out of the woodwork. That is what makes Batman's story so interesting. That's what makes the villain so interesting. So if we're going to do a Joker cameo, like he knows him, we didn't have a chance to see Pattinson and Joker play off each other. So it didn't really, I didn't feel the same thing. If we had seen a Heath in a Dark Knight Rises, just like talking to him, like through the glass like that, you know how powerful that scene would have been. You know what I'm saying? Talking about Bane, you know,
how would you incorporate that? Where would you have put that?
I think it was supposed to be
before the meeting between Bane and Batman, or after Batman comes back to Gotham.
Well, I guess if it was after Batman came back, I guess the Joker would have been loose because I guess Bane would have let him loose. But I guess he just let everybody out of Blackgate. He didn't fuck with Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where I would have put it, but. But I just know I wanted to always see that. And I'm not taking anything away from that scene that Reeves put out. It was well shot. It was well acted. But there's no connection because, A, it wasn't even in the movie. And then, B, it's like we're supposed to get hyped on it because it's something we've always wanted to see. But we didn't see those versions of those characters do anything. Mm. So it's not like there's no, you know what I mean? And then I feel like they kind of tried to force it in the end because everybody loves the Joker. So it's like, let's have the Joker show up at the end of the... You know what I'm saying? Well, why didn't you just make him the main villain then? Because your Riddler Zodiac killer wasn't really feeling that.
No, I'm still not feeling the Riddler part.
He could have been like a side villain. He could have been a good side villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for Riddler to be a main villain, I don't know.
Nothing wrong with the Kirk Langstrom, huh?
There's nothing wrong with the Kirk Langstrom. But again, he's got to be a side guy. He can't be number one either.
Man-Bat can't be a main villain.
Man-Bat
has to be this is like year one stuff.
This is so year one shit, like
those main villains. So yeah, you're right. Because I was going to say, we could just go straight into Court of Owls.
Let's do Court of Owls.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
All right, go into Court of Owls.
You know? We're supposed to get Harvey Dent in the next Batman movie, the next Pattinson.
Either Court of Owls or give me a better Black Mask.
A better Black Mask.
Yeah.
You didn't like that Ewan, huh?
Yeah. That's not the Roman Sionis I know.
He looked pretty good with the mask on, though.
He looked good, but that's you need a full-on, you know, Italian for that one.
He wasn't Italian enough for you.
No.
So you'll take what's his name from what's that guy's name? Oh God, Crossbones.
Ooh.
He would
perfect.
What the fuck is his name?
Black Mask. Frank Grillo.
Frank Grillo, wouldn't he be great Black Mask?
Oh man, Frank Grillo would be perfect.
Be perfect, right?
Yeah.
You know?
He got the look. Yeah.
Yeah, Kirk Langstrom is somebody you see like in the first 5 minutes.
And that's it for him.
Well, actually, no. Either we see him get caught in the opening of the movie, which would be amazing. Imagine Batman just chasing after this man bat in the opening of a fucking movie. Or you see him at the end. It's like a little cameo to tease people. He lands on a roof behind Batman.
But let me ask you this. Because I am with you when you say that would be fucking awesome to see him fucking just straight out the gate.
First 5 minutes.
Man bat. He's grappling from his leg.
Dude, before the opening credits. Just fucking, it starts off.
But who would get it? Who would get it? Would the majority of the audience get it?
Everyone will fucking get it.
Everyone will get it?
Everyone will get it. You don't fucking... First of all, you hide it in a warehouse when you shoot it, so we don't have these stupid set pictures leaking. And then you don't even put it in the trailer, so people just get sucked in. The movie starts and they're in. People are still fucking spying in their seats, and we hear, you know, and fucking the things coming over the building.
You need the animated series sound effect.
You need that fucking animated series sound effect. You got to do that in ADR.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, I don't know, make Clayface your main guy, your main villain. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Or he could be a side villain too.
I mean, Clayface, you could work a Clayface, you could work a Clayface just like you did, just like you do a Skrull, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though we're not seeing enough Skrulls in that show at all, but that's okay. That's neither here nor there. Guys, if you're going to have shapeshifters in the show, please give us more shapeshifters.
Give you more shapeshifting. All right. Don't just tell us it's Rhodey.
Right. Don't tell us it's Rhodey.
Speaking of which, how long has Rhodey been a Skrull?
Right.
Post-blip or pre-blip?
It's got to be post-blip.
Post-blip. That's what I'm thinking. Post-blip.
Because that definitely wasn't him in the Civil War shit. He would have fucking come out of that when he landed right. And broke his legs.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely post-blip.
Post-blip, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Wasn't as big as a shocker as I thought it'd be. Like I saw it trending, and I'm like, okay.
There are some really good scenes.
It's shot very well.
Yeah.
Photography on it is shot very well. It reminds me of your basic spy flick.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Other than if it wasn't for the fact that it was Marvel, if you take away the Marvel shit, it would be a good ass movie. I mean,
I'll raise you. I agree with you, and I'll raise you. I think if they just put it out, I don't know, maybe a year after the fucking Skrulls showed up, then it would be hidden. But yeah. They waited fucking 7 years, and I mean, I'm not saying it had to be. It didn't have to be pre Infinity War, but they could have done it like a couple years after Captain Marvel, when Skrulls were fresh in our mind, and mm-hmm. they could have put that shit out there, and that would have been cool, you know. But like, no, they gave us all this other shit, and it's like, now we're like, oh wait, I don't, because there is some good dialogue in there, and Samuel Jackson's always fun to watch, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Which makes me wonder, like, why haven't you put him in more shit? Because, like, he's great. You know?
Meaning as far as just the Marvel Universe, or you just talking about in general?
Well, in the Marvel Universe. But now that I think about it, maybe they should bring him back and have him play Lucius for a turn in the new DC.
That would be nice.
He would be a great Lucius.
That would be nice. Who would be my Lucius at this point? At this point, if I want to put butts in seats, if I'm going to put butts in seats, for Batman coming out in the gun universe.
Right.
I'm just going to go fucking all out.
Who we casting?
I'm calling Denzel.
Getting Denzel? Denzel.
I'm getting Denzel.
Denzel.
Fuck it.
As Lucius.
How come Denzel hasn't been... It's either Denzel has refused superhero movies, or folks doesn't have the balls to ask.
I feel like it's the latter. I feel like people don't have the fucking balls to ask him. Because think about it. I mean, he's done some, I wouldn't say bad movies, but he's done shit like Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg. He's done Safe House with Ryan Reynolds. He knows how to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's done some fun shit.
Yeah.
He loved Tony Scott. So he did a few movies for him. He did some that were great, some that were, you know, but he knows how to have a good time.
Right.
He's not all fucking Shakespeare and drama and,
right.
He knows how to do it. You know, so right. I feel like if you asked him, I would want
Denzel as my new Lucius Fox.
Especially if you came when you were like, listen, you know, we know Morgan Freeman did this, but we want you to play it kind of this way. And we wanted to play it, you know, play it your way.
Right. Then I think Alonzo from Training Day.
You want him. I can't say it, but you want him to say that to Batman. Not.
I mean, who would be your Lucius Fox at this point? Well, you say Sam Jackson. You say you want Sam Jackson.
I just think it'd be funny to see Sam Jackson like restraining every bit in him to like not say motherfucker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, motherfucker, I can't build you another Batmobile.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like sassing him a little bit, you know, like mm-hmm. the way Nick Fury would sass the Avengers. Like, I mean, just give that sass back to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I've been seeing that the Jason Eccles fan casting making the rounds on Twitter, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
For what?
For Batman.
I just
you know, Soldier Boy.
I think it's too late. I think it's too late.
You think it might be too late? Is he old? I don't even know how old he is.
He's too old? He's about our age.
You think 40 is too old?
That's too old.
You want a guy in his 30s.
Too old to complete the training. Yeah.
You want a guy in his 30s. Like, you want a guy like the new Superman's age.
Yeah, because we have to start this shit over again.
He's 29, I think.
Yeah.
So you want someone like in their late 20s. Okay, I don't really know.
Because, like I said, Reeves has the idea. Just let's just work from year one. Let's go back.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because if you're not going to give me Beyond, might as well just go back.
Mm.
And give me a young Batman that's just now starting. Don't 89 me and make me think he's been out here for a minute. Because what is 89? 89 wasn't year one stuff. He's been out there.
You're right. And I love that. But if they do a Brave and the Bold, I'm thinking, if they do a Brave and the Bold, is it going to just be like Batman and Robin, like Batman and Dick Grayson? Or are they going to do a true adaptation of Brave and the Bold where it's Damian and Bruce Wayne? But actually, even in that,
it has to be Damian.
Because if it is, okay, so if it has to be Damian, if they do a true adaptation of Brave and the Bold, then all the comic nerds out there who are,
have to appease them.
But then if they do that, it's got to be Dick Grayson in the suit. Because Dick Grayson was taking over the mantle for Batman and training Damian. And that would confuse so many. Talking about the fucking general audience, they'd all be like, wait a minute. Where's Bruce Wayne then? Which actually, that would be pretty ballsy of Gunn if he did that. If he opened it up with Bruce Wayne missing and Dick Grayson is playing Batman, raising Damian. That's what
loses the audience.
That might lose the audience, but that might make...
Because it's hard to accept. It's hard to accept anybody else except Bruce Wayne.
I think it might still make some good cash flow, though, because this is the same guy that gave us Guardians. Nobody knew who Guardians was. And those movies made money.
So you're saying you can build another franchise and you want to start this thing off with Dick Grayson.
I'm saying I think you could do it only because we already have a Pattinson Batman movie out there for people to watch if they want to see Bruce Wayne. And then you could technically start it in this universe by saying Bruce Wayne is just missing. Flash fucked up some shit. We don't know where Bruce is. Not saying you have to kill him off, but then Dick Grayson takes on the mantle. That could be some powerful storytelling if it was in the right hands.
Yeah, but you're reviving the Snyderverse.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
What are you talking about? There's no Dick Grayson in the Snyderverse.
That Bruce Wayne is missing because of what Flash did.
Because isn't that what the whole setup is? Wasn't Flashpoint supposed to be the starter point to fucking everything up? Remember how?
Yeah. Right. But
I'm not saying we bring Flash back. I'm just saying
Pattinson ain't got shit to do with that.
No, the Pattinson is in the his own Elseworlds. I'm saying that appeases the audience. I'm not saying it ties into this. Okay. I'm saying that appeases if people want to watch Batman.
Do you tie in Grayson to Flash then?
So in the comics, he was dead. Bruce Wayne died at the end of Final Crisis. So Dick Grayson takes on the mantle. So you don't have to go into all that because then you're definitely going to lose people. But I'm saying you started off with maybe Batman and Robin out doing a thing. And then when he takes off the mask and he calls him Dick, he's like, we see headlines, you know, Bruce Wayne missing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we go into that. That could be some good fucking juicy storytelling.
But I think you're looking at a good one-off.
You don't think they're going to build this into a trilogy?
Nobody's going to. I don't think people will follow Dick Grayson.
I think they would if you told it right. But you'd have to tell it right. You know what I'm saying? You'd have to tell the story, and then people could get into it.
Not with Dick Grayson as Batman.
So you think they're going to tell a story?
It
with
only
Bruce
works
Wayne.
With Dick Grayson as Nightwing.
So we're going to find out Bruce Wayne. So it'll be like the animated movie then, where Bruce Wayne finds out he has a son and has to train. Okay. Well, either way, he doesn't have to be young. Because if he's
father, He doesn't have to be young.
He could be
in that manner, yes. Jensen Ackles, he could work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't like his voice. That's not a good bat voice.
It's not a good bat voice. You don't like it?
No. I didn't like it.
I'd have to hear it again.
Yeah.
Because didn't he do the voice in the, one of the animated ones?
One of the more recent ones. Like, okay. It's hard to come out when, you know, that Conroy laid the foundation.
You know who I love, but he's too old to play him in real life? I love that Bruce Greenwood. Because he does the voice of Batman in the Red Hood movie.
I gotta go back and look at
that. And then he did the voice in the Young Justice cartoon also. And it's
I do like that. I do like that voice. I like
it's
that.
Really good, man. It's really
but he's
good.
He's old.
He's too old to complete the training.
Okay.
But his voice is so good. He's really just Bruce Greenwood just talking. And it's like, Robin, what do you mean? You know, it's so good.
The same way old boy is with Optimus.
Yeah, pretty much. That Optimus voice. I'm not even a Transformer guy, but I get a little excited every time I hear that voice. Autobots.
Roll out.
It's so that's really good. Your rollout was took me right back to the 80s.
Oh, you went right back to
it. Man.
Because in the interviews he said it's a mix of John Wayne and somebody else.
It is a mix of John Wayne, isn't it?
Yeah, he said it was always a mix of
Autobots.
John Wayne and somebody
else. Roll out. There's a little bit of that drama.
Autobots.
There.
Roll yeah. out.
That's what it is. Yeah. You're in my book. Could Kurt Russell factor anywhere into a Batverse? Other than playing Thomas Wayne?
Could he be a Thomas Wayne? He could be a good Thomas Wayne. You put that Wyatt Earp mustache on him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He's right back Thomas Wayne. I'll take him as a Thomas Wayne. Yes, I'll take it.
Can you imagine if they had cast Cillian Murphy instead of Christian Bale in these Nolan movies? Because he did do a screen test, and you can watch it.
And he had a good bad voice.
He had a pretty good bad voice. I'll give it to him.
But the size wasn't there.
Yeah. You see him as Bruce Wayne, and he's like, he killed my parents. And you're like, oh, he's not even.
Right. Because even in those scenes, like, they wasn't I know they weren't prepared for him. But even
no,
the
but
suit
you're
was
right.
just hanging off of him like it was
you're
a
right.
kid. In the
suit. Yeah. You're right. But he is a good actor, though.
But he can't, like I said, he got it coming back with Oppenheimer. He got his comeback.
Yeah. Everyone's saying that too, like, oh, you've worked with Nolan all these years, and now you're in the limelight. How's it feel? And he's like,
he's definitely getting. I bet he's gonna get something golden for this, right?
I want to see it so bad, dude.
I'm seeing this shit. I've been waiting for this shit all summer.
I want to see that. I still want to see the new Mission. I don't care what people say. I want to, and I'm going to see Barbie. I'm going to end up seeing it with the wife. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see Oppenheimer, man. I've been reading all these interviews with the cast and that Nolan, man. Like, I feel like, I don't know. What about you? Did you like Dunkirk?
I like Dunkirk.
Okay. But you probably,
like, I didn't get it. I had to go back and look up the history of it. And I get it, but it was shot very well.
I think this to me could be like, you know, the mix between what Dunkirk was supposed to be for me, but with like some Inception style filmography, you know, say,
right,
cinematography.
Right.
Because, I mean, it looks like it's fucking insane.
Right.
And there's all these great people in it. And it is such a, it's about such a crucial, see, we are talking about Oppenheimer, kids. It is about such a crucial part of our history, you know. That 1945, That whole time
was crazy. Yeah, right. Nothing but secrets happening.
Right.
Had
we not gotten involved, do you think we'd all be speaking fucking German today?
Either. I think we, if none of that stuff had, if we didn't drop that shit, then we would be looking at that High Castle type era of
German and Japanese.
German and Japanese splitting the country.
I never saw High Castle. Is it worth going?
It's worth the watch. It is worth the watch because it does, it does kind of give you insight of what would have happened if the Allies had lost.
Mm.
And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
like you would have just straight up real Americans as Nazi soldiers.
Mm.
Like they would have been living the pretty much the nuclear family life. Except they were Nazis.
Goddamn.
That would be fucked up.
It would be crazy.
And like I said, High Castle, like, the Nazis split the East Coast, the Japanese split the West Coast, and you had these little factions of rebels here and there that was still going to fight that shit.
Like Star Wars.
Like Star Wars.
Right.
Right. But with Oppenheimer and all that, I think that's what would happen. Because how else would that war end it?
It's insane. It's insane to think about. Because
the war would have kept going. Eventually, the Nazis would have won.
And I'll call it out because you're not one to put this out for yourself. But on one episode, you did put this out there, and I thought it was a very poignant point of view. One that I hadn't really considered was the other side of that, right? Like, so you're in Japan, you're in Nagasaki or Hiroshima, and then that bomb comes down.
The fucking bomb comes
down. And imagine, I mean, we have photographs of the aftermath and shit, and they're horrifying. But like at the same time, like, I don't know if we talk about that much, especially in schools and when you're growing up and you're learning, you know, it's like, well, we had to do this because we.
Right. Because they were evil.
Right.
They were evil. Right. But who was evil?
Right.
Who was evil?
Right. Exactly.
And
so it's a very, that's why. So it's for a number of reasons, right? It's like kind of haunting. Forget about the performances, even though I'm sure they're all amazing. The story itself and the idea itself is a very interesting one. And it's like,
because
engaging.
I think that shit really like weighed him down in real life.
How could it not?
Right.
You know, how could it not? You know what I'm saying?
And he says, now I become death, the destroyer of
worlds. The destroyer and he of knew worlds. It. Right. Galactus himself.
Right.
Well, not
and that's
the
just a human. That's just a regular man saying
that's
that.
Just a man. A man who, like the size of Nick Stevens.
He was about the size of your size.
Before he went in the chamber.
With a nice fedora.
He always wears a good hat, doesn't he?
Yeah. With a nice
in the
fedora.
Peaky Blinders, he's got that good hat game.
Yeah. Oh, I was actually talking about Oppenheimer.
No, I'm saying it all over. Like,
oh,
Oppenheimer,
he does wear the hat. Peaky Blinders. Peaky Blinders. I gotta go through Peaky Blinders too.
Yeah, you gotta.
Is it like Gangs of New York type style stuff?
I got to go through it too. I got through like the first season and a half and I stopped and now it's been years, but now all these great people are in it. Tom Hardy joined the cast and all kinds of people are in it now. So I need to go back through it. I think they're all on Netflix though. Just got to sit down and go through it. But I'm too busy going through old movies like this. 2008, this movie came out and I didn't see it in theaters right away. I think I waited like a day or two because I was too busy drinking. And, when I finally did see it, I was just fucking blown away. And I've seen this movie so many fucking times.
So many times.
Probably not as many times as Begins. I think I got a few more watches out of me. Only because when it came out in 05, you have to remember we hadn't seen anything like that before. And I rewatched the fuck out of Begins. But we hadn't seen anything like this before either. And I don't know if anybody's done a better Joker since Heath.
What hadn't you seen before 2005? What do you mean, what hadn't you seen?
We hadn't seen him become Batman on the big screen.
Didn't see him become Batman. Okay.
Correct. And I think that's what and the score and Liam Neeson and they're training on the ice and just all the great dialogue. It just fucking blew me away. And that ending, you know, when Gary Oldman tries to thank him, you know,
And you'll never have to.
And you'll never have to.
You'll never have to.
As I jump off this building.
As I jump off this building. You're goddamn right. Now let's go right into Rises. No, what do you rate this movie? I mean, all these years later,
It's still a 10 beyond 10.
Okay, or we can go into our six beautiful ratings on the show. We have Call It a Work good, Movie Theater good, Home Video good, just kidding. Catch It on Cable good, Sick with the Flu good, and Solitary Confinement good. So it's Call It a Work good for you still?
It's still Call It a Work.
If it came back to the theater for like a anniversary screening, would you go back to the theater and watch it?
No.
No, really?
No.
You wouldn't go like do like an IMAX screening on this if they were doing it?
Because I think I saw it in IMAX. I'm good.
So just one and done.
Yeah, I'm good. Good.
I think I would go back to the theater for this.
I'm good.
Because I went back for Returns when they did an anniversary screening.
Of course you did.
You know? Well, what's funny is I actually got the tickets for the 89. This is why I'm not meant to see this movie on the big screen. I've never seen 89 on the big screen. Never saw it when it first came out. Saw it on VHS. You can't watch a Warner Brothers movie without a Warner Brothers ball cap if you don't know your gooks. I say all that to say this. They did some kind of anniversary screening in 2019, before the dark times, before the dark ages with COVID. And when I went to the movie theater to watch it, guess what? They got the wrong print. Somebody had sent Batman Returns instead of Batman 89. So we watched Batman Returns instead. Then there was another event in Richmond where we were going to watch Batman 89. But then it was scratched and they couldn't get it to go, so we had to watch Batman Returns. So I think I'm like, it's cursed. I'm not meant to see it on the big screen. So I've seen
I will go back and see 89 in theaters. Yeah.
So would I. Because I never saw it on the big screen.
Yeah. I would like to see it in, yeah.
I saw Returns on the big screen when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm destined for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would go back. I would go back for any Nolan Batman movie on the big screen.
Because I remember going to see Begins in theaters and I didn't get it because it was a lot. It was dark. Like literally, it was dark. I couldn't watch it. I was missing a lot of stuff.
Mm. Yeah. That's how I felt with the Pattinson shit.
You can't see him.
It was so dark. It was darker than any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, because he was just in the shadows and shit.
He was just whispering.
Yeah. So, yeah, I probably need to see Begins again in theaters. But for you, Dark Knight Remains.
I think it's the best. Food. I think it's Call Out of Work good. And I think I think it remains the best out of the three on paper.
Yeah.
Even if there's a lot of things that Begins that I love and that there's a lot of shit in Rises that I love. I think on paper, we all know it's probably the best one.
Yeah, it is the best one.
It's like that Empire Strikes Back.
Politically, it's the best one.
Correct.
Yeah. You were saying Empire is the best one.
I would say even on paper, Empire Strikes Back is the best one, but people love Empire Return
Strikes
of the
Jedi. Back is the best one. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Just the same way we could say Revenge of the Sith is the best one.
Just the same way we could say Return of the Jedi is the best one. I do love that opening of Return of the Jedi.
How can you not like Revenge? How can you say Sith is not the best one from the prequels?
Because we ain't got no fucking Darth Maul in that shit.
What do you need him for? You got Darth Vader.
I don't know. We had Darth Maul. We had Darth Vader doing the no.
Maul didn't do anything. Maul didn't do anything. What did Maul do for you?
The end of that movie on Mustafar, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
The whole seduction throughout the whole movie.
That's why you love it. I mean, it was hard to appreciate it when I was like wading through fucking Hayden Christensen's fucking dialogue.
Don't just fucking blow me off. Don't blow me off. No, but that's why you fucking love it. Don't blow me off. Blow me off.
Because I know you, man. I know that's why you love it. You've said that and shared that with countless dickheads. And you've told us all why you love that. And that's how you're able to get past anything
What else do you get in Phantom Menace and in Attack of the Clones? You're not getting anything like you're getting in Revenge of the Sith.
No, you're right.
Like you see the whole breakdown of this boy from beginning to end.
But you get Liam Neeson. And I'm telling you, Liam Neeson.
That Liam Neeson, huh?
He fucks me up, man.
That Liam Neeson, huh?
He fucks me up, man.
It's about the midichlorians.
I just wish he had showed up in the Obi-Wan series in a more powerful way than just at the end, like, follow me. Remember? Like, couldn't you have, like, chimed in?
You knew they were going to do that anyway.
Yeah, but
you couldn't give it away.
Why couldn't he have chimed in and helped him, like, do something, you know?
Can't chime in. He had to let, Anakin tap that ass just a little bit. Anakin tapped that ass just a little bit, but then Obi-Wan came back. I hate that they do that shit to Darth Vader, man. Darth Vader is the baddest motherfucker.
I know.
But it's always a few folks that test his gangster, and they make him start doing it.
I know.
They started making him doing that breathing shit.
I know. How you feel about that Ahsoka?
Looking forward to it. Hate that he died.
I know.
I feel like he's going to be a very good Sith Lord.
Yeah. He plays a great villain.
Yeah. And then we're finally going to see a good ass Thrawn.
Mm-hmm. Blue.
A blue man.
A blue man. Alien. A blue alien.
The heir to the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
What a great book series.
But am I to imagine that by the time New Hope comes around, Thrawn and everybody's been decimated?
Right. Thrawn and them gets tore up. Luke finds a way.
Before Luke.
This is after Luke.
Because this all comes before Luke, but after Anakin becomes Darth. That's what I thought.
The way Heir to the Empire worked was... The way Heir to the Empire worked is after Jedi.
Oh, so we get Thrawn before New Hope, and then Thrawn is still alive at the end of after Jedi?
Right, right. So Thrawn... God damn. Thrawn ends up finding this lost fleet of Star Destroyers that's called... I forgot what they're called. But he ended up discovering these powerful Star Destroyers that basically... combined are just as bad as the Death Star.
That's why everybody's older. That's why Ahsoka's a little older, and that's why even what's her name, Green Alien, Twi'lek, Twi'lek or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And then that's Sabine, she's older.
You see Sabine kind of looking at Ezra because I feel like Ezra is older at this point too.
When they haven't seen him, they don't know where he is.
Right, and so that's going to be huge when they reveal whoever this Ezra person is.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
That's what we do on the podcast, kids. We go from Gotham City to fucking galaxies far away.
Far, far away. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I am looking forward to this. Like I said, I don't know where they're picking it up, but Heir to the Empire is after Jedi. Thrawn is just floating in space trying to gather the rest of the Imperial fleet, and he's coming upon this... he comes upon like an old... crazy Jedi that wants to recruit Luke as a apprentice.
So it's after Mandalorian, or it takes place during the same time as Mandalorian. After
should be
Jedi.
Taking place. Should be taking place around the same time Mandalorian, and this is the same time that Leia is pregnant with twins.
Oh, interesting. Twins, so it's after
twins that aren't Ben Solo.
Got you. So in the movie, but in the movie verse, we got Ben Solo.
We got Ben Solo.
But in the books, we got twins.
We get twins.
Okay, so it's before, it's after Jedi, but before Force Awakens.
Before Force Awakens, right?
Okay, I can fuck with that. Okay, yeah. Cool. Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
and that's what you're here for.
That's what I'm here for. Heir to the Empire.
Got to brush up on it.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes we like to brush up on other things too, like current events.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that all our actors and writers out there know that we at Comic-Con's podcast headquarters are in full solidarity with all of you. We stand with you, and we're going to shut down production after this show to show our solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't air another episode.
I'm definitely striking because, like I said, as you can see,
mm-hmm.
I have a closet.
Mm-hmm.
You have... a villain from Gotham standing mm-hmm. behind you, though.
Do you want me to walk you through it? Because I can show you how to do it. It takes 5 seconds.
That's called budget concerns.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? But you're looking at the stoppage of freaking Mortal Kombat 2.
Deadpool
and
3.
One more major movie.
Deadpool 3, Mission Deadpool Impossible 3. Part 2. Dead Reckoning Part 2. You know, I think it actually might be a good thing because I think obviously if they get paid more, that's a win. But also, on a side note, we could probably use a good break. We could probably turn the faucet off for a little bit.
Netflix says they're not worried about it because they have a stockpile of shit. They don't need fucking writers.
That's pretty horrible. But yeah, I also heard that some execs said that, you know, we'll worry when they lose their apartments or some shit. And that's just
right. They'll come crawling back.
Oh, God.
They always do.
And that's horrible, right?
Right.
You know? But at the same time, like, I think, obviously, if they can get paid and they can get the money they deserve and everybody gets that equity, that's what it's all about. Equity across the board. Just pay people what they're owed for the work that they do. You know?
This hasn't happened in 60 years.
No, but at the same time, I mean, actors used to be owned by the fucking studio.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't leave a studio. You couldn't go to another studio. It was just like, it was horrible. Even if you were like a star, like a main, you know. And even people that are A-list celebrities, women still don't get paid as much as men. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucked up. You think ScarJo raked in as much for Black Widow as fucking Robert Downey Jr. did in his 8 fucking minutes during Spider-Man? Fuck no, dude.
What did Downey get? Over 100?
I remember it was fucking something obscene.
And it was something stupid.
And it was more. I remember when I looked at the numbers, it was more than what ScarJo made for her movie.
Like Yeah, Downey became Tony Stark for real.
And I get he's a high roller with the MCU, don't get me wrong, but it was like 16 minutes of footage, dude. And it was something ridiculous. It was like 80 million or some shit.
The thing was, I thought it was like 30.
It was something retarded. Somebody will probably Google it and find I'll be way off. I just know he made more than ScarJo.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we get to look forward to Blue Beetle.
Yeah. It's not for me. Solo. It's okay.
It's just okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for me. It's okay. It's for kids. It's for families. You know, it's not for, you know, a 41-year-old dude, you know. Mm. I'm not the demographic the movie's going for. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I think
it's great that it's being made.
I don't know how good he's going to be on a standalone. Like, Blue Beetle is always going to be a part of the Justice League. He has to work with the Justice League.
I think he'll be good.
I don't know about standalone because who is his villain?
This is going to be their Spider-Man, right? This is what they're hoping for. They're trying to make their Spider-Man like a young guy who's in a suit with funny quips doing shit, you know? You know, you got George Lopez showing up for a good time.
Yeah.
And we got Aquaman too. Don't forget that Momoa.
And Aquaman too. There you go. And Aquaman too. What do we have coming with Marvel?
I don't think we have anything.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I think everything stopped filming. Because we had Captain America filming. You had Thunderbolts getting ready to film. Blade got kicked back again. Deadpool was filming. We got that yellow suit, and then they shut down production.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know, man.
You're like, oh!
Only time will tell.
Mm, Asia.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it might be a good thing if the faucet gets turned off, you know? Because this podcast has no problems digging up old relics from the past.
Yeah.
We don't need new stuff to talk about.
Yeah, no new stuff.
No, we'll just don't put it past us. Me and Mr. Powell over here will talk about movies from the distant past. Mm-hmm. Okay, the days of future past as well.
Have we touched it?
We haven't. We should. We should touch it again.
Let's touch some future past.
I haven't touched it.
Yeah,
I don't think I've touched it
because my dream again for X-Men movie is always just to see, you know, some real Sentinels in action that look like the animated series Sentinels.
Right, not the ones we saw.
Yeah, not those shits. Not those shits.
They were kind of...
In future past, yes.
Yeah.
But they were from the past.
Yeah.
Like, the future ones look like...
In future past, but they were from the past.
Right.
No, you're right. We need the ones... They need to be ginormous.
Big.
Right.
Right. I want big fucking Sentinels.
How about that creator? We're gonna get excited about the creator, right?
Mm-hmm.
In September. He should do an X-Men movie. Can you imagine the guy that did Rogue One and Godzilla doing an X-Men movie with large-ass fucking Sentinels? And big ships and fucking Blackbird jets fucking coming down. And then that music. Why can't they just do that score for the movie? Like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Wouldn't you get hyped?
Because what is the film version?
The film version is hold on.
That's it.
Da, 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 da.
How often do you go back to X1?
More times than you would imagine.
I wouldn't have thought about that. I didn't think you would.
I saw that in theaters, and actually X2 is probably the one I watched the most out of the trilogy. That Nightcrawler one. I watched that one a lot.
I don't go back through any of those.
I can't create the fire. I can only manipulate it. You're a god amongst insects. Don't let anyone tell you different. And then when he's looking at him, Pyro's like, you're supposed to be the bad guy, right? He goes, is that what they say? Oh, come on now.
While he was just sitting over there joking with, kicking the shits with Mystique, huh?
He's sitting there next to Mystique, and Mystique's got her hand on his cock.
Right.
under the cape. You know, she's just a slow jerk. And he goes, that's a dorky-looking helmet over there. This dorky helmet's going to keep me safe from the real... I'm coming.
Ha ha!
And that's the show, kids. Thanks for coming out. Don't forget, whatever we said.
Drinking off Magneto.
Whatever we said. Don't take it seriously, okay? It's just fiction, okay? Is that what they say?
Damn, how did Magneto get so old?
Yeah, he got that old, fast. He got old real quick. And we loved him for it.
We do.
We loved him for it. I'm keeping this one. I'm playing this one pretty close to the chest, okay?
Okay. All right. Yeah, Lucius knew not to ask him anymore.
No, he didn't ask anything. Right. He was like, all right.
How are you going to ask your boss?
Yeah. All right, fine.
Fine. Fuck it.
Why did Alfred, real quick before we leave, why did Alfred not want to rub suntan lotion on the Russian models?
How fast did he say that?
Because he's like, because I watched it with subtitles, and he goes, he could say, and he's like, what's the Russian for? You can apply your own bloody suntan lotion.
Your own bloody suntan lotion.
What does that mean?
I never knew what he said.
Why wouldn't you want to put suntan lotion? That tells us something about that Michael Caine Alfred. He felt uncomfortable rubbing suntan lotion on those blonde vixens.
But then he turns around and he goes like this.
Yeah, he goes like this, like her to flip over, like flip he was over. Getting ready to do it. I don't know.
So he did it.
So I guess he did it. Yeah. You think he got, you know, a little fucking action from them?
I don't know, but she was hot.
Bruce Wayne leaves him on the boat in the middle of the Red Sea.
To go catch a Chinese, what was he? Banker at most.
Yeah, a Chinese banker that couldn't be extradited.
That couldn't be extradited.
And hijack him out of the country.
In the tallest building in China.
100%. In Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong.
And he leaves Alfred on the boat with the Russian ballet.
Because he gets a hard-on once he jumps off that building.
You know he does.
Every time he shot those little Play-Doh things, it was like a jerk-off.
The cock is getting fucking pulled. Play this game and try not to come in 45 seconds.
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, kids.